Welcome to the Nutritional Endocrinology Assessment and Balancing Overview for the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to share with you just a basic summary and overview of the kinds of tools that we have for assessing for endocrinology imbalances that can be balanced nutritionally. And then looking at some of the basic strategies for balancing. As we go through the courses, there'll be a lot more detail about each individual hormone and specific tools and techniques for balancing them. But for now, this is just a starting point and an overview of the general techniques. And before we begin, let's make sure that you understand that all the information that I'm presenting in this talk is not intended to replace one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not medical advice. And as you advise your clients, it's really important that you make sure that they're really clear that it's a sharing of knowledge and information from my research, my experience, my clinical experience with lots of patients, and it's not to substitute for bouncing this stuff off of their healthcare provider, in particular if they're on medication or under the care of a doctor for any particular diagnosed condition. So make sure that everything that we talk about and makes sense to them and that it's okay with the treatment that they're already getting. So as you're looking, working with a client and looking to establish what the underlying root cause is of their health complaints, you need to have a focused eye and act like a detective and leave no stone unturned. So let's look at some of the ways that you can do that. When you're looking at your toolkit, the toolkit is the set of things that you have at your disposal to help to bring your client into balance. When we look at the toolkit, say in Western medicine, it's mainly related to drugs and surgery. When we look at a toolkit of someone who's a fitness counselor, their tools might be specific exercises. When you look at the toolkit of somebody who is an energy worker, their toolkit is composed of specific energy techniques. But as a holistic practitioner, a practitioner of functional nutrition, functional endocrinology and nutrition, we have a wide variety of tools in our kit. And those tools are related to how we go about assessing and how we go about helping people to restore balance. So the important pieces in doing an endocrinology and nutrition assessment is to look at, of course, history, what's going on with their history. Are there some genetic components? How is their energy? And are there energy imbalances in their body? What about labs? There's lots of different kinds of labs, and we'll be exploring a variety of these as we go through our courses together. And it's important that you have techniques for identifying when emotional imbalances are creating the problems that a person is experiencing, and also have either ways on your own or resources that you can use to bring into play to help people get the emotional piece in balance. Of course, nutrition is a huge part of it, and this is the part that drew most of us together here, looking at their nutrition, looking at their foods that they're eating, what supplements they're taking, what things are in their life that are interfering with their nutrition. But other things that are important are in the environment. Are there toxins in the environment? Are they using sprays? Are they cleaning their house with various kinds of toxic elements? What are their relationships like? Are they having limiting beliefs? Their thoughts can have a huge, huge effect on it. And touch, which we don't really think about a lot, but touch has a huge effect on hormones, in particular the hormone oxytocin. What are some of the tools? Well, we want to have sleuth history taking. What does that mean? Well, for each of the hormone families, you want to be able to ask questions that would identify what some underlying imbalances are in that particular hormone family. Sleuth history taking, we have a whole module on sleuth history taking. Very, very important piece of it. We also want to look at exam findings. Now, exam findings are conventional medical type testing, but also more looking at the skin, the hair, the nails, and signs of functional imbalance. Home testing, we'll go through a variety of different tests that you can teach your clients to do at home to monitor their nutritional status and their hormone status, including blood sugar testing. Blood testing, and there are a variety of labs available. One in particular is Direct Labs, but there are others where you can actually invite and teach your clients how to order their own blood testing based on what you would like to take a look at. And that's if they don't have a family doctor who's willing to support them in their journey here. And then specialty labs. There's a variety of specialty labs, Metametrics, Genova, Meridian Valley, Doctors Data, that will dig in to see what kind of imbalances are going on. And finally, genetics testing. So we'll have sections and modules about each and every one of these. So your assessment tools, including asking the right questions, very detailed questions about their history, their early illnesses, whether they were breastfed or not, how often and when they first started taking antibiotics, what kind of medications they're on, what kind of supplements they're on, what kind of reactions they have to certain environments. When was their home last carpeted? Do they have new pets? There's so many questions that most conventional doctors don't ask that are really important for you to be the sleuth detective that figures out what's going on, what the root cause of the person's symptoms are. There's symptom surveys that you can use, and we provide these within the course of the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. We have some online symptom surveys that can also be made into PDF files that you can send your client home with to fill out, or that they can print off, or they can fill out online. And these would be very specific, targeted questions that help to address and look at each and every one of the hormone families. Physical exam. And this, if you're not licensed to do physical exam, you can give your client forms that they can look at themselves and have a family member look at to assess functional signs of imbalance. Blood chemistry, and that you can do through Direct Labs, and we'll have a whole section on that. Functional assessments. There's tests for the adrenals, the adrenal stress index. There's tests for the fatty acid balance, which is related to inflammatory processes. There's tests for amino acids, which can help you assess the status of their building and repair processes, collagen amino acids. There's also amino acids related to neurotransmitters, and we'll go through all of these variety of tests. Organic acid is a very useful functional test that helps to look at all the different byproducts of metabolic reactions and helps you to assess where some of the clogs in the wheel might be. Mineral testing, very important, both essential minerals and toxic minerals. And finally, steroid hormone panels, looking at the variety of steroid hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, but also looking at the intermediates so that you can see where some of the plugs are, where some of the nutrient imbalances might be, and how you could go about functionally repairing and balancing those areas. As we're going through protocols to help to restore balance, I find that it's helpful to use hormone balancing hierarchies. Because if you start out looking at the presenting symptom, you're not doing a whole lot better than standard allopathic medicine, because the presenting symptoms might be a sign of something underlying. So I find that no matter what their big item is, whatever the one that has the highest score of imbalance, if their digestion is out of balance, even if it's just minorly out of balance, not addressing the digestion can impact the way that the other parts repair. So for example, if they're presenting with a thyroid issue, and they also show signs of, or on the symptom surveys or on the symptoms that you're looking at, or signs on their body, physical signs, you're saying, I think there's something going on with their digestion. If you don't address that because it seems to be a lesser problem than the thyroid, you could be impacting the effect of the thyroid interventions that you suggest. So it's really important. And the order that I find is digestion, first, because if they are not digesting well, they are not getting the appropriate nutrients to supply the other hormones. In addition, there's some inflammation in the gut that's causing a stress, which is going to really stress the adrenals, which can have an effect on the thyroid, which can have an effect on sleep, which definitely has effect on sex hormones. So various things in the digestion have to be addressed. The actual digestion itself and making sure that there's efficiency at taking the nutrients out of the food so that you can supply the rest of the organs and glands. Then there's the importance of calming down the fires of digestive imbalance. So for example, leaky gut. We don't want toxins to leak from the gut into the bloodstream and then have a widespread effect on the body. Well, I don't feel like it's critical that you address the digestion and get it completely balanced before starting to work on other things like blood sugar and adrenals and thyroid. I think it is really critical that you're working on it concurrently, because if you skip it because maybe it's not as impaired as the other organs and glands, then you're making a mistake because the other stuff is just not going to get balanced without the digestion being in balance. So once you've looked at or are working on balancing digestion, it doesn't mean that you have to go through a whole protocol and have them have perfect digestion before you can work on anything else. But the point is that in order for the other protocols to work, in order for balancing and nutrition and herbs and things for the other systems to work, the digestion has to be working as well. So you work on digestion, then you look at blood sugar, because blood sugar is so connected with everything. If you have blood sugar swings up and down, it's going to cause inflammation. It's going to affect everything else. Next, I like to look at stress response. Again, because that adrenal stress can be affecting everything. Digestion affects the adrenals, because if the digestion is poor and there are some issues with inflammation, or if there are issues with organisms that don't belong there, you're going to have some issues with the digestion that's going to impede the response of the working on the adrenals. After that, I work on the thyroid, again, because it's metabolic rate. And if every system in the body is not working properly, you have to address the thyroid. Okay, so sleep, you know, it's listed as 5 in the hierarchy, but it depends on what's going on. If someone is not sleeping, then it's hard to do repair and get everything else working. So sleep is almost like an overarching piece, but you can optimize sleep and look at that. That's a hard one. That was a hard one to place. Sex hormones. What I find is that if we get the digestion working, we get the person balanced in their blood sugar, we get their stress under control, we get their thyroid under control, by that point, a lot of the issues that they were having with sex hormones have disappeared. And then finally, the organ specifics. Now, this is not a 100%, you have to do it in this exact order every time, but I would say at least the top 4, the digestion, blood sugar, stress response, and thyroid, are really going to need to get under control. I mean, we also have the immune system, which is not really, there are some endocrine components of it, but the immune system needs to be addressed throughout. We address the immune system when we're looking at digestion, because we might be looking at repairing leaky gut, food allergies. We might be looking at the immune system in response to thyroid, especially if there's an autoimmune condition. Blood sugar can have an autoimmune response. So this is just a general guideline. It doesn't have to be cast in concrete, because we're dealing with individuals and we need to make sure that we're personalizing. So let's look a little bit at foods that disrupt hormones. Then we'll look at foods that enhance the functioning of hormones after that. Hydrogenated and oxidized fats. You've heard this over and over again. They damage the cell receptors. They damage the insulin receptors. They cause inflammation. They contribute to inflammatory diseases and autoimmune diseases. And that's a big hormone disruptor. And they wreak havoc. There is stress in the system that the adrenals perceive as a stress in the system and then add to the burden of an already stressed out person. The other thing is processed high glycemic foods like flours and sugars and grains. That's going to disrupt hormones. You know, of course, it disrupts your insulin glucagon balance, but that has an effect on thyroid, on adrenals, on sex hormones as well. Charred meats. they have something called heterocyclic amines, and these promote ER alpha estrogen receptors, which are the ones that are contributing to breast cancer. So charred meat in general is very damaging to the system, but in particular, it can be hormone disruptive. Chemical-laden foods. Again, there's certain chemicals that are actually hormone disrupting in that they bind to receptors, but then they trick them because they're not really having the function. And then the real hormones can't bind to those receptors because they've been displaced. Foods in plastic and cans need to be careful because the linings in those plastic and cans can leach into the food and disrupt hormones. And of course, good old gluten and dairy. Gluten is very inflammatory. Gluten is very acid forming. And most people don't tolerate gluten well, and it disrupts all the hormones. Dairy, very, very dangerous for people with blood sugar imbalances because dairy has an effect on the pancreas and its ability to make insulin, as well as effects on the insulin-producing cells, as well as dairy, especially the whey component, will increase insulin secretion without increasing blood sugar. So it's kind of like this hidden problem. And then caffeine and alcohol have effects, damaging effects on hormones. So really what this boils down to is getting back to the basics and helping people to clean up their diet in order to achieve hormone balance. Foods that support hormones are green leafy vegetables, brassicas in particular for the sex hormones, because they have particular components that support the conversion between the estrogens and the testosterones and the ones that are damaging versus the ones that are helpful. Sea vegetables loaded with minerals, iodine in particular, but a lot of other minerals, so they're supportive of the hormones, especially thyroid. Omega-3 fats, very important, and especially the omega-3-6 balance, which we'll go into a lot more detail about as we get further along. Coconut oil can be very supportive. It's loaded with medium-chain triglycerides, which get into the system quickly and provide energy to the system, even when there's digestive impairment and gallbladder problems. Cumin and pomegranate have hormone-supporting effects, and cumin is it's like an Indian spice. It goes really well with other things that are anti-inflammatory, like ginger and turmeric. Lignans. Lignans are a specific type of biochemical that helps to support and nourish hormones. And we'll go way into more detail on that in our reproductive hormone module. But flax, sesame, pumpkin seeds, soybeans, broccoli, beans, and some berries have these lignans. And finally, isoflavones, as found in soybeans, clover, kudzu, mung beans, alfalfa sprouts, black cohosh, and chickpeas. And those are all really valuable for balancing hormones. These are just some of them. So finally, we'll end with a slide that has some links for advanced topics and resources regarding hormones, the general hormone introduction. There's a neuroscience website thing about the hypothalamus that's real cool. Same thing for pituitary. There's some flashcards that help you to really understand the hormones related to the hypothalamus at Quizlet.com. The endocrine system overview video that's really quite interesting at YouTube.com. And there's a link for it. And then our SHINE conference that we held in January 2014, the day one in videos 1, 2, and 4 have a lot more information about what we're covering in this introduction. So thank you for listening. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo of the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology.